Been 2 weeks. I figured we'll take a minute to kind of review what we did last week. We also covered a lot last week, and then we'll try to finish up the sugya tonight whenever we have the chance. Okay. So we did the main gemara we had, right, was the line of, where is it? There we go, right. Yuma lama beis ma beis. Kol avodos ayom inan sheros ela bo. Right. Bo being the Kohen Gadol. All the avoda of the day is only kasher Kohen Gadol. Right. So surprising, number one, not only is Kohen Gadol required, but he's required even la'akiv, right? It will be possible if he's not doing it, and it shares elva. So we have three main questions. Number one, what is the source for this halacha? Unclear what the source is. Doesn't appear, at least explicitly, in the Bavli anywhere. Number two, what does the Gemara mean when it says all avoda? What does avoda consist of? What is the scope of this halacha? And then number three, like, what's the nature of this halacha? Why do you need the Kohen Gadol? What is the status of the other Kohanim? We don't seem to have any other like analog to this any other day of the year. So what exactly is going on? So we basically saw a survey of the various Rishonim when it comes to, well, before I get to that, the question of scope, right? Well, the question of source. Where does this source come from? Where do we have this halacha? Where do we know that all avodah is only kasher from the Kohen Gadol? And we remember what we saw 2 weeks ago, way back when? Where do we get the halacha from that we require the Kohen Gadol to do all the avodos hayom? Right. That was the Torah's Kohanim cited by Rashi. If you look carefully at the Pesukim in Achrimos, so over and over again it mentions Aaron. And then at the end it says, right, all other Kohanim who are anointed subsequently. So Torah's Kohanim says, right, an individual drasha, you know, I only know that Aaron can do the avodah of Yom Kippur. How do I know that a Kohen Gadol who was anointed, right, that's the first way you become a Kohen Gadol, is if you're anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha back from Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the Torah's Kohanim said, how do I know that you can do the avodah of Yom Kippur if you became Kohen Gadol through wearing the clothing, right, which is what they did after we lost the Shemen HaMishcha. And then there's a third drasha, how do we know that you can do it if you are the emergency substitute Kohen Gadol? So that's the source why it's only kasher but Kohen Gadol. A noteworthy source, because we would have thought that we would be restricting from all Kohanim to the Kohen Gadol, and instead we're expanding, right? We originally, our default assumption is only Aaron, right? And then we're like, you know, guerrilla warfare, expanding one type of Kohen Gadol by another. So it sounds like this really, really is focused on the Kohen Gadol, and there's not even like a Havamina that other Kohanim could be doing the avoda. So that really drives home the question of why, right, which is our third question to ask. Okay, question number two, what is the scope? When the Gemara says, all avodos hayom are only kasher of the Kohen Gadol, what could that mean? So we have a few different levels. We'll draw the skee ball chart again just to map those out. And that'll be a good way to kind of go over what the various avoda hayom could be. So in the middle circle, I guess, you know, I'm going to erase this. So, middle circle, the very core avoda of Yom Kippur are the services that are done with the big day lava, right? The ones that the Kohen Gadol wears the special white-only clothing, and those are the avoda which are connected to everything which is done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that is everything done for the Ketores, everything done for the Kohen Gadol's own bull, and then everything that's done for the two goats, right? The Sair Lashem and the Sair Lazazel, those are all connected to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Those all require Big Day Lavan. So that is certainly the inner core of the Avodas Hayom, and that certainly nobody is going to question requires a Kohen Gadol. The question is going to be, how far beyond that, if at all, are we going to go, and what then will that tell us about this halacha? So we have a few different circles we can make, right? So one circle we can make is all other, what we'll call special Yom Kippur karbanos. Right? So they may not be Kodesh HaKadoshim karbanos, but we do have other karbanos which are only offered on Yom Kippur. In that group, we can make a bit of a bifurcation. Because the ones, we have one on the inside, one on the outside. We have the El Ha'am, we have the ram, which is mentioned in Achrei Mos and mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. It's kind of connected to the Musaf offerings, also connected to the Big Day Lavan offerings, right? The El Ha'am, the special, the isle, the ram, which is brought as an Ola, only exists on Yom Kippur. That's one of the special Yom Kippur Karbanos. And we also have the Musaf. Right, every Yom Tov gets its own Musaf, right? Rosh Chodesh gets a Musaf, and Shabbos gets a Musaf, and Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah, etc. So Yom Kippur gets its own Musaf, right? So we could call that a special Yom Kippur card. A little bit farther out, because on the one hand, it's the unique Musaf of Yom Kippur, but on the other hand, right, every festival does have a Musaf. So that's a little bit on the outside. Okay, and then the circle beyond that, beyond the core Big Day Lavan, beyond the special Yom Kippur Karbanos, we could say all primary avoda. So what is that? That's done every day. You know, primary daily. So that would include, right, what do we have? What are the primary avodas that which are done every day? Not quite a primary one. The Tumid. Right. Tumid is one. Tumid is definitely one. Two more, just one per, for each utensil in the Beis HaMikdash. Think of the utensil and think of its daily use.
The Torah.
Torah, excellent. That's two. Exactly, right? And the setting up, let's say the setting up and the lighting of the menorah. Okay. Fine. So that's gonna be our third level, right? So the core Yom Kippur, then we have the special Yom Kippur Karbanos, then we have, right, all the regular, standard, primary avoda of the day. And then on the outside, we will have all the various things which are done on Yom Kippur, right, in the Beis HaMikdash. There are many things which are done that the Kohanim have to do, besides offer the Karbanos and the Ketores and the Menorah, right? Terumas HaDeshen, we mentioned, is one. Setting up the wood, right? So, setting up the wood. Wood. On the Mizbeach, which requires a Kohen. Terumas HaDeshen, which is what again? What's the Trumas HaDeshen?
The ashes.
Right, shoveling off the ashes, which you have to do on both the Mizbeach on the outside and the Mizbeach on the inside. Burning the leftover meats, right? Burning leftover meats, etc. Right, so that would be more extreme. We saw three new positions in the Rishonim so far. The one who was the most inclusive was, anyone remember? Yes?
The Baal Hamar.
The Baal Hamar, right? The Baal Hamar, who said that
everything,
right? So we could save like 2 minutes off of our Yom Kippur davening, because in the Avoda, when we talk about the chief operating officer Kohen would give out the lottery, right? Which Kohen will do which job, and that's in every machzer. But the Baal Hamar says it's not in the Baal Hamar's machzer. I cut it out because there's no lottery. Everything's being done by the Kohen Gadol, right? So on the outside list would be Baal Hamar. Okay, most extreme. Does anybody remember any other positions we had? Any other positions we had?
The Ritva,
polar opposite of the Baal Hamar. I'll have to figure out where exactly he is, but he's somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah.
He's residing somewhere in one of these middle circles. He says, "Well, the Tumid can be brought by any kohen, right? So that level, all forget about these, right? Forget about those. The regular daily Tumid, daily Ketores Menorah." That is certainly can be done by a regular kohen. It's only the avoda of Yom Kippur. The avoda is done any day. It's not an avoda of Yom Kippur. So that's going to be out. And then the question is going to be, where within those three inner circles, Will the Ritva and the Ramban draw the line? And we'll give some svara for that. That's going to be part of our job tonight. Okay, and the third position we saw was from the Tosfos Yeshanim, right? You remember there are two versions of Tosfos on every page in Yuma. We have the regular Tosfos, which are actually the Tosfos from the Maharam Meruttenberg, right? So they're late from Germany, so even though that's the regular Tosfos spot, that's a little bit different from your normal Tosfos. They're quoting different people, they're often longer, as you'll notice. Tosfos Yeshanim is your more standard Tosfos. And if you look in the Ritva, when he quotes Tosfos, that will usually match up with Tosfos Yeshanim. The Ritva doesn't have our Tosfos because the Maharam Meruttenberg died in the 1290s, and the Ritva is busy writing his book in the 1290s. So Tosfos Yeshanim, a couple other Rishonim said, right, we're going to take like a middle position. We're not going to reserve it to the Yom Kippur only Karbanos, but we're also not willing to go as extreme as the Baal HaMaor and say that every random avoda that's done in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur needs a Kohen Gadol. We're going to stay inside the circles. If it's a primary Karban, if it's the Tamid, if it's the Ketores, if it's the Musaf, then you need a Kohen Gadol. But all the things that are happening in the Beis HaMikdash, which aren't, you know, main service, that's going to be okay with a regular Kohen, right? So in here, we'll have Tosfos, Yeshanim, and some others. Okay. So now, we have three positions mapped out. So the last source that we saw 2 weeks ago was the question, right, we're moving now to question number three, which is we have our source answered, we have our scope answered. Now we're asking, what is the nature of this halacha? Why do you require a Kohen Gadol? And a good window into that is for us to ask, what is the status of the regular Kohanim on Yom Kippur? Right? Okay, we're told they can't do these things, but what is their status? Can we say that they will be in violation of the prohibition of Zaros, right? You can't, a non-Kohen, cannot worship in the, cannot perform the service in the Beis HaMikdash. If a Kohen on Yom Kippur does that, will that be the same as a regular Zar working on, you know, the 9th of Tishrei or the 11th of Tishrei? It's a bit of a shocking idea because a Zar seems to be a category of person and Kohen is a Kohen, but that seemed to be at least a simple reading of the last source we saw, which was a Gemara in Yevamos, which described the Kohen. It said he's the czar regarding the bull of the Kohen Gadol. Is that meant literally? You could say it's not, but that is what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, just going to quote, Afilo Kohen Hed Yotnami Shazar Etzlo. He is a czar regarding the bull of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So we need to, our first task is going to be to investigate, right, is the Kohen Hed Yot a czar? And if that's true, why? Right? Why and how could he be a czar if he's a Kohen? Kohen is not a czar. Those are like mutually, you know, it's like saying the blue sky is red. It doesn't work. So how could that be? How could it be that a Kohen is a czar on Yom Kippur? So one approach was argued by a number of Achronim, and most shortly and clearly by the Mikdash David. Did anybody get a chance to see what the Mikdash David had to say? No? Okay. So there were two. He had two pieces. So just a... Yeah, we're a little behind. Okay. Just a quick word of background on who the Mikdash David was. He's a very interesting story. His name is Rav David Rappaport. Is anybody here friendly or related to any Rappaports?
Leora is.
Really?
She's the one, yeah, she's coming back next time.
Good
she's
to know.
My
So, anything...
What do you mean by one of the Rappaports?
Anybody left in Rappaport?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So... So the Rappaport is a important family name because, yeah, as far as I know, they are the only, right? Why are they?
Kohanim.
They're Kohanim, but not only are they Kohanim, right? People named Kohen or Katz are Kohanim. The Rappaports can trace it back. The Rappaports are kind of Kohanim Yuchas, and they have this, like, I don't know how far back it goes, I'm not a Rappaport. I don't know if they keep it secret or not, but they trace back their Kohen lineage. So if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, the first people who are going to be working in it will probably be Rappaports. So unsurprisingly, Rav David Rappaport, who lives in the late 19th and early 20th century, is attracted to the study of Kachim. And he puts out a book called Mikdash David, which his name is David, right? David HaMelech tries to build a base of Mikdash. He's very into Kachim, so that's how this book comes about. He writes in the introduction that he wrote this when he was learning in the Kollel in Slobodka, and he says, there are a bunch of us who are very smart, but there are many who are smarter than me, but they couldn't get the money to publish. And then I think what he means is that when the Soviet Revolution happened, that kind of put the kibosh on anybody putting out their chidushim, but he escaped to Poland, which was non-Soviet until the beginning of World War II, and he was able to scrape together some money to put out his farm, which is crazy because his farm on Kachim, Zeraim, and Taros are like revolutionary work. So the idea that if he hadn't had like a few rubles to scratch together, it never would have seen light of day is kind of remarkable. He ends up what?
Oh, continue going.
Okay. He works as the assistant Rosh Yeshiva in Baranovich to Rav Elchana Wasserman. Rav Elchana Wasserman, we know, was killed by the Nazis. Rabbi Rappaport was arrested by the Russians, and he died in a Soviet labor camp at the age of, I think, 51. So, you know, definitely, I think it was a chus to learn his Torah. Someone who died al-Kiddush Hashem and put out a lot for us. So he takes up the question of what does it mean for the Kohen Hedyot to be a czar on Yom Kippur? He's a Kohen. How could he be a czar? So he argues that we can make a very simple argument, which I'm turning over to you guys to evaluate, which is maybe we'll say, we'll make a chiddush in the laws of czaris, and we'll say that anybody who, for whatever reason, is not able to do a certain avoda will be a czar for that avoda. So you could be a Kohen, but if you're not allowed to do something, then if you go ahead and do it anyway, you will be in violation of the prohibition of Zaras. Prohibition of Zaras constitutes Misa Bidei Shamayim, right? Death at the hands of the heavenly court, be one of our achits tomorrow night. And that's what we'll say, right? So it'll just be a very simple answer. How on earth could the Kohen Hedyot be a Zar? Very simple. Anytime you can't do an Avoda and you do it, you have violated the prohibition of Zaras. He quotes a Sefer Achinach, which has a really radical position, which is there's one of the mitzvos, which, you know, the 613 probably is like on the bottom 10% of knowledge of the Targ mitzvos, is that the Kohanim and Levim should not mix up each other's avodah. It's a pasuk, I think, in Nasa, I don't remember exactly. But if a Levi does, the Levim are broken up into different categories of worker, right? You have the gatekeepers and the water jars and the singers. So if one Levi does the work of a different Levi, that's an Avera, and it's actually Misa Bidei Shamayim. It's extremely severe. So the halacha is a Levi can't do a Levi's work if it's not his. A Levi can't do a Kohen's work. Kohen can't do a Levi's work. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, it seems to me that if a Kohen won the lottery, right? So the Kohen won the lottery to do the Ketores, let's say, and then a different Kohen barges in and does it instead, he will be in violation of that same Avera, right? This was supposed to be Kohen X's Avoda, and then Kohen Y came in and stole it. He has violated the Avera of doing something which he isn't supposed to do. Misa Bidei Shamayim. Assumes Mikdash David, this really is part of the story of being a czar. If you're supposed to, if an avoda is not for you, and you do it, you have violated the prohibition of czars. Mikdash David thinks this. Shar HaMelech, one of the commentators on the Rambam, thinks this. What's the third big one that I saw? The Dvar Avram. Dvar Avram, which was the sefer written by the, you know, who here is familiar with Tshuvos Mimamakim? Anybody? Right? So, do you know who he is?
Ephraim
Rashi. Ephraim Rashi, right. Who is the Rev in the Kovno Ghetto. Right? So he's like my age when he's the Rev of the Kovno Ghetto. I think he might be a year younger when he starts, because I think I said that last year. So when the war starts, the Rev in the Kovno Ghetto is the Dvar Avram, who then dies in the middle in the ghetto over the course of the war, and then Rav Ashi takes over. So all three of them, Mikdash David, Shar HaMelech, Dvar Avram, all make this argument that we can explain that the way you are, the Kohen is a czar on Yom Kippur, is, we'll say, that if you do an avoda you're not supposed to do, that's a prohibition of czars. Okay. Turn it over to you. Any way to evaluate or criticize that idea? Right, so Mikdash David will argue the radical chiddush of the Sefer HaChinuch, that if you lose the lottery, but that's a minority shita. So if you discount the Sefer HaChinuch, then I don't think so. At least I can't think of one offhand.
I mean, it kind of makes sense with the same theme as leave over a carbon like people, right? It's like there's a certain time and a certain place for a carbon, so why? Some which have very strict consequences. Like, why not people with that same level of consequence?
Right,
it makes sense to say that.
Okay, right. The tracks are very firm, and if you Misa in the world of Mikdash, Misa B'Dishamayim is happening all over the place. Right, you take a step out of line, and bad news for the Jews. Right. 100%. The idea that the severity of the penalty, I think we definitely agree, makes a lot of sense. The question is, can the argument that the prohibition of zaros, right? Are you a czar or are you not a czar? Is the answer to that you are a czar for certain things, you're not a czar for certain other things? It just depends on the avoda. Yeah.
Well, I would say, I guess if I had to come up with an answer, isn't something necessarily inherent. Like a Kohen and a Levi can never ever do each other's jobs, but we know if the Kohen Gadol dies, you need to have an emergency Kohen, so it's possible to jump up to that position, which means that there's not necessarily something on principle that prevents a Kohen from doing it, so therefore it wouldn't necessarily be Zaris. It could be, it's Usher, but for a different reason.
Excellent. I was thinking the exact same thing. That basically, a czar is a personal status, right? You, if you are a Yisrael, you have the personal status, I am a czar. My personal... the chalos, me, you can define me as a czar. It's very hard to say that you are, you can't have a personal status of czar for a certain avodah. That doesn't make any sense, and that's not what they're arguing. They're arguing that czaris has nothing to do with inherent personal status. They're saying, if you can't do an avodah, then that carries with it a prohibition of czaris. But the simple understanding certainly is that a czar is an inherent personal status, right? Either you are one or you aren't one. And if that's the case, then this whole approach of explaining how you could be a czar for Yom Kippur and not a czar the rest of the year isn't going to work, right? Because, what do you mean? Czar is personal status. All year round, I'm not a czar. How do I create a personal status of being a czar on Yom Kippur? If you wanted to tell me czaris is not a personal status halacha, it's just when you aren't supposed to do an avoda, it carries a prohibition of czar, fine. Simple understanding is that not that the avoda carries the prohibition of a czar, it's that me as a person, right, would be defined as a czar. So if that's the case, this whole route is not going to be open to us, and we're going to have to come up with something else to say. Okay, so that sends us a little bit back to square one. So how could we? What are we going to do? So let's go back to some of the theories that we were developing as to what sets apart the avoda of Yom Kippur from the avoda of the rest of the year, right? Why is it that the Kohen Gadol is required while a Kohen Het Yod is not? So one approach that we advanced last week was maybe it's that the day of Yom Kippur requires a Kohen Gadol, right? Maybe it's that, Yom Kippur is the day of the Kohen Gadol. Yom Kippur is the day where all of a sudden he's allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. So maybe it's just, it's a holier day, and it just requires a Kohen Gadol. If you're not a Kohen Gadol, you're not welcome on Yom Kippur. That would explain this, because then we would say that it's what creates the status of Zaris, the day, right? The day of Yom Kippur shows up and says, I demand a Kohen Gadol on this day. All other Kohanim need not apply. We use that to explain the position of the Baal Hamar, right? Why on earth are you going to say that every single avoda in the whole Mikdash, done on Yom Kippur, needs a Kohen Gadol? So the response could be that, everyone else is turned away, because the day of Yom Kippur needs a Kohen Gadol. If it's the day that needs him, then everything done on that day will need him too. I don't know if you had a chance to see the Sefarno that I sent you, but the Sefarno has a very interesting comment which would back up this approach nicely. The Svarna points out, if you just go scroll to the end of the source sheet, you can look at the psukim he's working on, which are psukim in Parshas Emor. So the pasuk's talking about lighting the menorah, right? And there's a requirement to have the ner tamid, right? The constant candle menorah, right? Part of the constant activity in the mikdash, right? You always have bread in the shulchan. You always have a candle lit on the menorah. You always have karbanos going on outside, and you always have luchos inside the aron kodesh, right? There's an idea of tamid, which is like the foundation of the base of mikdash network. But the Svarno is bothered by Pasuk Gimel, which is Michutz Perochesa Edus Ba'al Moed Yeroch Oso Aharon Me'erev Ad Boker. Right, Aharon shall set up the menorah. Asks the Svarno, why is Aharon singled out as setting up the menorah? Right, there are at least it's Emor, so there are two other possible candidates. Right, namely, who else could be doing this besides Aharon? Elazar and Itamar, right? The two Aaron's two surviving sons, right? The Pasuk should have said, Yaroch Oso HaKohen Me'er Ad Boker. Why is Pasuk singling out Aaron as setting up the menorah every day? Which it does again at the beginning of Parshas Ba'aloscha, right? When Aaron is setting up the candles. So the Sfarno argues, maybe we could say the following. We could say that the Mishkan in the desert is comparable to the Beis HaMikdash on the day of Yom Kippur. Why is that? Because because the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur has this unique situation where there's a greater revelation of the Shechina, right? The cloud, the pillar of cloud descends on top of the Aron Kodesh on Yom Kippur, and that's the one day where the Kohen Gadol is going to be allowed in. It's a little ironic that the one day that the Kohen Gadol is allowed in is the one day that it's got its greatest point of sanctity. Definitely to think about there. But he says that, well, let's see, the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, the one day a year is at that you have that level of revelation. The Jews in the desert, from Egypt to Israel, that was the reality every single day, right? The pillar of cloud was always camped alongside with them. So he proposes this far, and maybe we'll say that the Kedusha of the Mishkan is equal to the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. And maybe we'll say that in order the only people who can serve inside the Mishkan are those who could go see that cloud on Yom Kippur, right? So even if you're a Kohen, you may be a Kohen in good standing, but you can't go. You can never go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And if a Kohen in good standing can never go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then he can't go into the Mishkan when the cloud is there as well, right? So that's the argument that he puts forward. So if that's the case, we could say similarly, right, that Yom Kippur, what does it mean that Yom Kippur, the day of Yom Kippur, needs a Kohen Gadol? There's more Hiskalas Hashchina on Yom Kippur. There's more sanctity in the air. There's more sanctity in the Mikdash, right? And so that's going to require a greater level of kahuna. It's not enough to be a Kohen Hedyo, right? A regular Kohen, Elazar and Itamar could not go into the Mishkan, right? They can only work outside the Mishkan. So too, we'll say the Beis HaMikdash, right, on the day where the Shechina is in the Kodesh HaKadashim, that day will require the Kohen Gadol to be doing the Avodah in general. Okay, so that's kind of one model you could set up. You could say, where does this prohibition of Zaras come from? It comes from the day of Yom Kippur. If that's the case, if it's the day creating the problem, you are inclined to have a broader scope of Avodah, which must be done by the Kohen Gadol. Probably. Okay. But what if you're not going to say that? What if you're going to go, right, like most of the Rishonim, towards the inner categories? So then, we'll turn this over, tell me what you think. You could say it's not that it's the day of Yom Kippur, which requires the Kohen Gadol. You could say that it is the Avoda of Yom Kippur that requires the Kohen Gadol. The Avoda of Yom Kippur has a higher sanctity than the Avodah of the rest of the year. There is greater Kedusha in Avodah Yom Kippur than there is in standard Avodah. How do I know that? What's the easiest proof that the Avodah of Yom Kippur is a higher Kedusha than standard Avodah? Because what does the Avodah of Yom Kippur include? 100%, right? Look at what he has to do, right? He has to, every 2 minutes, he's going to the mikvah, and then he's washing his hands and his feet. 10 Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, 5 Tevilos. We definitely see the signs that there's greater Kedusha here. And what's the core of it? Big Day Lavan. Why does he need them? Kodesh HaKadashim, right? Because the defining, that's like what it's all about, right? The Avodas Yom Kippur, like if, you know, if all these karbanos were, if this is all a solar system, right? So the sun, what everything is revolving around, is the fact that he's going into the Kodesh HaKadashim. That's the center of gravity of the entire day, right? So that is going to create greater Kedusha to the Avoda. And then the question that you're going to ask is the following. You're going to say, okay, fine. So I understand Avodas Yom HaKippurim requires a higher level, has a higher level of Kedusha, and therefore requires a higher level of Kedusha to be done, right? So how is a Kohen a Zar one day a year? Because, you know, usually, if, you know, here's the Kedusha meter, right? So a Kohen is here, and that gets you through most of the year's Avoda. Happens to be on Yom Kippur, I need someone with this level of Kedusha. And that's only the Kohen Gadol. Right, so Kohen becomes a Zar one day a year, not because his status diminishes, but because the service needs something higher. And then the question is going to be, what is part of the service and what isn't? Right, we know the Kodesh HaKadashim is. Do we say that the other avodos have nothing to do? Right, most of them say nothing to do with the avodah of the Kodesh HaKadashim. You have to do a bunch of things on Yom Kippur. The highlight is the Kodesh HaKadashim. If you were watching the Sports Center review, that's all you'd watch. And everything else would be, you know, you save for like the ESPN Classic. It doesn't really count. Or do you say no, right? That the Bingdei Lavan is the anchor, but that everything else has a, you know, is defined as part of that avoda as well. So I may not be in the Kodesh HaKadashim when I'm, you know, offering the Musaf, but that Musaf is part of the avoda, whose defining feature is going into the Kodesh, into the Kodesh HaKadashim. Right, for example, the Sayer HaMishtaleach, right, the scapegoat, the goat that's sent out to Azazel, is only done by Bigdei Lavan, but the Sayer LaAzazel doesn't go to Kodesh HaKadashim. Right? Reason is, it's because it's the identical twin of the carbon that does. So there's certainly, you know, to some extent, an influence of Kodesh HaKadashim to stuff outside. How far does that extend? So that's what the question is. That's what the question could be. Okay, so if that's the case, so one person who certainly thought that was the case was the Rav quoting his father, or Soloveitchik quoting his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, which he does a lot, who was trying to pin down where exactly the Ritva is going to fall, right? Where the Ritva said only the avoda of, I think the quote was, Yom Kippur Mamish. Only Yom Kippur Mamish, which you can see like banging on the table. You don't exactly know what that means. Requires a Kohen Gadol. So what is that? So that could be, in theory, one of three different things, right? That could mean Bigdei Lavan. That could mean other extreme, the Musafin, right? Because those are brought on Yom Kippur only. Or maybe that could mean Bigdei Lavan and the El Ha'am. So Moshe Soloveitchik assumed for sure, right, that it was not the Musafin. He assumes that when the Ritva and the Ramban say that you need Avodas Yom HaKippur Mamish, so that cannot mean, that means the special Karbanos of Yom Kippur. Not only a Karban which happens to only be brought on Yom Kippur, it means the unique Avoda of Yom Kippur. And then his question was, when we say unique Avoda of Yom Kippur, does that mean only Bigdei Lavan, that really you only need the Kohen Gadol for the Karbanos which involve going to the Kodesh HaKadashim? If that was the case, that would be like a beautiful proof of what we're saying, right? What do you mean the Avoda of Yom Kippur is more Kadosh and therefore everyone else is a Zar for it? Very simple, because we're talking about going to the Kodesh HaKadashim. That would be great. Or he says, look, I'm not sure. Maybe the El Ha'am, maybe the Ram, right, which is kind of part of the Musafin, but it's also it's not actually a Musaf offering, and it's mentioned in Parshas Achrayimos along with everything that's happening in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Maybe that's part of the special Yom Kippur service, right? So we have here just that exact question. We're told maybe Avodas Yom Kippur required has more sanctity, and then it's just a question of what's in, what's out. And Rav Moshe and the Rav are trying to figure out where exactly the Ritva would draw this line. Okay. Any questions? Any questions till now? We're doing a lot of talking. All clear. Yeah. Awesome. Great. Okay, so let's take one step back before taking one step forward, right? So we have right now two basic models that we can set up to explain how it is that a Kohen Head Yot is a czar on Yom Kippur. Well, we have three. We have one from Mikdash Shabbat and the other Achronim, who just said, look, if you can't do an Avoda for whatever reason, you're a czar. We didn't like that so much because we thought that czaris is probably related to inherent personal status and not to just it happens to be I can't do a certain avoda. If it's related to inherent personal status, assuming your inherent personal status is unchanging, which we usually assume it is, right? You don't wake up a Kohen one day and a Levi the next day and you saw the next day, right? So how is it you wake up a Kohen one day and a czar the next day? So we have two explanations. One is that it's the day of Yom Kippur, which requires the Kohen Gadol. And two, it's the Avoda of Yom Kippur that requires the Kohen Gadol. Nafkamina is going to be, if it's the day that requires it, that's going to be basically everything, probably. If it's the Avoda that requires it, then you can have a whole, you know, thumb-tucking session figuring out which one of these circles are in, right? Maybe it's only Big Day Lavan, maybe it's special Yom Kippur Karbanos, maybe it's some of those, some not. Maybe all Karbanos become Yom Kippur Karbanos because, hey, it's a Tumah that's being brought on Yom Kippur. I could say that in theory, right? But that's where you're going to have this fight. What is part of that Yom Kippur Avoda? After all, the Avoda has the special Kedusha requiring a Kohen Gadol. Okay, so now let's turn back and evaluate the position of the Rambam, which I think is on the source sheet. It should be on the quote. So at the bottom of page 2, if you have it, we'll look this over again, see what's going on with the Rambam. It should be on the bottom of page 2, right after Tosfos Yeshanim, right? Rambam Halachos Avodas Yom Kippurim, Perek Aleph. Okay, so the first, we don't have to read Halach Aleph inside, I think we did it last time. There's a lot to, you know what? Let's do it. We should read the whole thing inside. We have time right now. Anybody want to take it? We can split up Aleph and Beis.
Yeah.
He's an Adam. All right. Right, you know, so let's stop right there for a second. Rose like makes this point. And that's a good one. First sentence, right? So what's the first thing Rama mentions? All right, on which day?
Like every day. Kisidar Kol Yom Hayom.
Right.
On its own.
What do you think of that?
So, it seems like he's making it seem like the Tamid on this day is like the Tamid of any other day. Like, so presumably anyone can do it.
Interesting. Interesting. At minimum, if you were writing the Rambam, and you were starting to talk about the Karbanos of Yom Kippur, would you have started by saying, on Yom Kippur, you bring the Tamid just like you bring it any other day?
Well, you might have thought that you don't. But
the fact that he was right, like, Kiyom Vayom means that, like, you would have thought otherwise, that, like, it's like a special way for Yom Kippur, like, that was just connected for, like, a special, like, and it was Yom Kippur service, like, Dafka.
Okay, so,
I see what you're going for.
You guys saying the same thing or something different? You guys are both saying...
I'm
sure.
I'm not sure.
You're both proposing a certain Havamina. I'm not sure what it is. What was your Havamina?
Well, I'm making it. I first read it like he's making it seem like it's just a regular tummy, but you're trying to say, and I agree with you, that the fact that he's like starting this Abu Dhabi with the tummy is making it seem like the tummy is like part of the Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. Okay. So you know where I was going with that.
I know what you're saying.
But were you saying maybe you would have thought that you wouldn't have the Tamid on Yom Kippur? Were you saying that?
Yeah, you might. If you think it's like a really different day, then
right. Yeah, so I think that's totally.
You might think that
right. You could
service,
be.
So
in other words, I'd expect Yom Kippur Avodas. Look, it's the only day of the year that has its own section of halachos, right? Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur. So I would have thought maybe that. I go in so assuming that it's a radically different day that maybe I have a Havamina that that there shouldn't even be a Tamid, right? So then, my analysis of Havamina would be that, you know, no Tamid at all because it's so crazy. So what the Rambam is really doing is he's kind of reeling it back in, Right? Is he saying, nah, the Tumid is still, it's not totally off, totally different. You still have the normal Tumid, right? That would be a way to explain Tumid as like a non-Yom Kippur carbon. Other way to say it, which is what you were saying, I was saying,
yeah,
was...
What I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
Is that the fact that he starts his Avodah of Yom Kippurim with the Tumid is sort of making... Like, giving the Tumid this status of, like, all the other...
Exactly, right? Not that he's reeling in Yom Kippur, but that he's pushing out the Tumid, right? You should know that Yom Kippur, even the Tumid, is part of the Yom Kippur, special Yom Kippur Avodah. Okay, so you could go either way. We'll read the rest of Halakha and see which way we think makes more sense. Okay, so let's keep going. Makriv and Musaf.
Musaf Yom Kulam Olo.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so then the Musaf and Har Rayal and Seven Fasim, and they're all alone, and then the Seir Tatat, he does outside, and it's eaten at night, or is that eaten or like consumed?
I assume it means eaten, right?
I guess that's the breakfast.
I guess some of the Kohanim will get to eat the chatas.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone asked me if I wanted to break fast with shawarma afterwards.
Yeah.
And I didn't, but I guess.
Yeah, you
get to put it in. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So this is like even more surprising. I rose up to that too. So we have the Tumid. We start off with Tumid, batting lead off. And then batting second is the Musaf and the El Ha'am. And then, in the middle of the second line, oh, the Od Makrivin Yeser, Musaf Zeh, in addition to the Musaf, we bring, like, the core Karbanos of the day. Right? Like, what do you mean, in addition to these things, we bring the core Karbanos of the day? You should have started off with the core Karbanos of the day, and said, in addition, we bring the Musaf and the Tumid. Okay? So, not what he does. Fine. So... Okay, so Shnei Shal Kohen Gadol, right? Kohen Gadol brings his own par and his own ram. And then in parallel, we have the El Hamor, or sorry, the El Haba.
Mishal Tzibor. Hamor Parshat Afrimot,
Yehu El Hamor, the Chumash HaPigudim.
Right, what's the Chumash HaPigudim? That's the
Pas. I mean, that's the Gemini Bar.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
The Klal Hamzad, Yehu HaNikra El Haham.
Okay, so let's stop it here for a second. So the last two karbanos that he mentions are? The Seir Shalayach and the, what's the identical to it? And the Chadas, right? The two most important karbanos of the day. Right, the one with which we actually achieve atonement, the Seir Shalayach, and the one which goes inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? The Tzibur is carbon that goes inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So those are the last two that are mentioned. Okay, so he could have stopped there, right? Because he just counted all the carbonos for us. So we're good to go. We're not good to go because he keeps on going for some reason. What does he say now? Yeah, so there's like a review session. So he goes through all the ones that he just mentioned literally in that same halacha, and he also tells you that there are 15. Which, like, we could count, right? We could have counted 15 by ourselves. So, why does he need to tell me, after listing them all, oh, let's go through again. We have 15 animals, 2 tmidin, 7 musafs, right, a couple of bulls, etc., etc. What's that coming to add? Why is that there? I think 100%. That's Sir Roswang's argument, is exactly. Group them together, elaborate.
That they're all in the same category, they're all part of the
Avodah,
so the Avodah
of the Yom. It's an extremely inviting read, right? What the Rama is getting across in Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph is that, right? we're going to make a circle around all these, right? These are all part of the Avodas Hayom. And we're going to specifically put them all together. We're going to start off with the Tamid. We're going to end off by counting them all up and listing them so you'd remember, right? It's one category. Those are the Avodos. Those are the Avodos Hayom. Okay. So maybe that's what's going on. Maybe. Now the question is going to be halacha base. So before we get to halacha base, so until now, so we'll say according to the Rambam, when you need a Kohen Gadol to do all the avoda, so we'll say great, that works exactly with the Rishonim we were talking about earlier, right? Namely, it's the avoda of Yom Kippur which has the superior kedusha, and that kedusha is what requires a Kohen Gadol. Okay. So now let's look at halacha base and see if halacha base makes things more complicated or not. So how do you want to take it? Okay, fair. Stop there for 1 second. That's pretty. He's getting that across pretty early in the game, right? Rambam is making sure that you know, right, from the very beginning of Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, like the first thing he tells you after what the karbanos are is that these must be brought only by the Kohen Gadol. Seems like it's an important halacha. Okay.
Whether it's the Kohen that was anointed by the anointing oils,
right?
Oh, I'm remembering the Magadim, where it's the.
Okay, so let's stop for 1 second now. Did he need to tell me that?
Well, I think it's just sort of say the existing Kohen Gadol, like however that Kohen Gadol came to.
But. Okay, I mean, I'm not a Rambam expert, so I'm gonna bet that in general, when the Rambam talks about things that a Kohen Gadol does, he does not feel the need to specify. Oh, by the way, this is the case regardless of he was anointed through the Shemen Hamishcha or through wearing the clothes.
Because he's a
Kohen Gadol, right? At the end of the day, I don't care if you got to I don't care if you took the train, if you took the subway, if you took a cab. You got to the same. You got to the same point at the end of the day. Why does it matter? So why does he have to tell me here? Echad kohen mashiach b'shamen meshcha omru begadim. Maybe this is total speculation. It just relates to some stuff we did last time.
Yeah, but what would that imply? Well, the fact that he has to specify that, he feels need to.
Yeah.
What does it mean that he assumes a half meter
of vision? I'm asking you. Well, clearly half a meter. Well, I mean, what? Clearly the Havamina is that one of these two would not be able to serve, right? That's why he has to tell you that they're both able to serve. Where would you have gotten such a Havamina from? Yeah, exactly, right? Probably from Taras Kohanim, right? Which had the exact same Havamina, right? We needed the guerrilla warfare to expand from Aaron to get me to other Kohanim Gadol, right? Maybe the Rambam was working on the same thing, and that's why he has to tell me, you know, that it doesn't matter if he was established through the Shemen HaMishcha or through the clothes. Okay. Now let's keep going, and here's the key line for our purposes right now. Here's the problem line. Okay, so what is it? What's that halacha? What did you say?
Even if the Kippur falls out on Shabbat, or if we bring Musaf on Shabbat, right, that is what will only be brought by the Kohen Gadol.
Okay, so does that give us? Are we okay with that, or problematic?
Seems similar. Why would that be different than the
Tamidim? Why would that be different from the Tamidim?
So it's like Yom Kippur as a day. So the day is what signifies it. And Shabbat falls outside of the category. The day shouldn't have to be done.
1,000%, right? 6 out of 7 years, you're not going to have Tamid of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. So I can say the Tamid is part of the Yom Kippur service because every single Yom Kippur service includes a Tamid. Harder to say that the Musaf is part of the Yom Kippur service because it's usually not. Right? So if, and this is what
the
we want.
The words it is considered Kol Yom the Yom. Is there anything that would be done normally on any other day, regardless of what it was?
I'm not sure what line you're reading. Vim Haisa Shabbos.
In the first halacha. Yom HaSumach Vim HaTamin HaShacha VeTamin VeHabayim Kisidah Kol Yom the Yom.
Yeah, so that makes it even worse.
No, the implication is,
yeah,
anything would have been done whatever way on the other day. But to say that Yom Yom is like completely taken over by the Kohen Gadol.
Does anybody disagree? Or just me?
Well,
What did you say?
Me, I, from the first line, the first halacha, the yom ha'somat min din, tamid v'shachah v'tamid v'abayim kisidyo ko yom yom. I feel like the words ko yom yom imply that anything else would be done on another day, right, would now be done by the Kohen Gadol.
I don't think
no,
you
I don't
can
think
take
so.
Yom yom out of context of it's directly linked to the tamid v'shachah v'tamid v'abayim. Like it's saying you bring korban tamid in the morning, korban tamid in the afternoon, every day. And that is what you do.
There's something to...
Right. But that's the point. The only thing you do kol yom vayom is the korban tamid. You bring a korban musaf only on Shabbos. He's also bringing it in a different halacha. I would expand it there.
Why are you cutting off the first half of the sentence?
What?
Why are you cutting off the first half of the sentence? We bring the tamid morning, afternoon, like we do every single day.
Was that?
That's a totally separate statement from what we're from. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, I'm just being medarsh for the worst case of Yom Yom.
But why would you do that? That's taking... they're setting you up to, you know, you could be like in the media now. You're taking, taking quotes out of context.
Fake
news. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry,
yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, the same thing as reading is like, you do it because
you
don't call Yom Yom. That seems to be his understanding. Is what you would do. Consider kol yom. For instance, the yom atzal, consider kol yom, tamim ha-shachal, tamim ha-bayim. So do anything else you would do, kol yom yom, or whatever how it will come up.
But when he brings to God as a second case, he perceives that he assumes that...
That's why I'm surprised that we bring up Shabbos as a second case.
He would have to bring it as a separate case, because it doesn't happen every Yom Kippur.
My point is, like, he doesn't... It shouldn't be a din, oh, this happens every single Kippur. Right? His wording before was that you do whatever you on whatever day this will fall out on, just in a Yom Kippur manner. So why do we need to simply say, okay, then Shabbos also you do this like that? Why is it more surprising? Why is it necessarily more surprising than we did?
Because what he's just saying is that here are the karbanos of Yom Kippur. Number one, the tamid, which comes every single day. Number two, all the musafin. Number three, the inner circle karbanos. So that has nothing to do with requiring a Kohen Gadol to bring. And then we were coming up with this great explanation, right? Oh, maybe the Rambam is, you know, integrating all the karbanos into one category of Avodah Yom Kippurim, and that's what requires a Kohen Gadol. And it's great and explains like three different strange things in Halacha Aleph, and the Rambam clearly thinks that it's so important to have a Kohen Gadol. That's Halacha Beis, and he, Kohen Mashiach and Meruba Begadim, all that. And then he throws a giant monkey wrench in there, and he says, and also if it's the Musaf of Shabbos, how are you gonna call Musaf of Shabbos part of Avodas Yom Kippurim if it's not the case 6 out of 7 years? Tamid was enough of a stretch, right? It was enough of a stretch to say that the Tamid is part of the Avodas Yom Kippurim, and the Rambam had to, like, you know, shock and awe you into that with his first sentence.
I don't think it's a din of being having to do it 6 out of 7 years. I think it's that anything that would happen, called Yom Kippur, okay, you would do also, or whatever day would fall out, would be done also on Yom Kippur. Right?
I would suggest that
Shabbos is different enough because we can only have it every 6 or 7 years. I'd say it's different because the Kedushas of Shabbos, this is not, theoretically speaking, why would that mix with the Kedusha of Yom Kippur?
Why would the Kedusha of Shabbos mix with the Kedusha of Yom Kippur?
Yeah. I mean, that is, like, to me, is the difference. More than it's okay because it happened every single Yom Kippur. I mean, there has to be something within Shabbos that really exempts it from being, having this sort of, like, oh, it's like this sort of, like, a thing that just happens during the week type of thing. It's like a normal type of thing. Not because it happens only... What's that? 1 out of 7 days, but because it's a separate kedusha that you would think would not be able to be combined with the kedusha of Yom Kippur. Like the famous one, because like you said.
Okay, I understand what's going on. In other words, let's take it. So Adam, you're saying the following. You're saying my default assumption is that any let's say normal karbanos when they fall out on Yom Kippur should be part of Yom Kippur. And you're going to have to convince me that Shabbos is a totally different category. So you're totally at ease with the Tamid being part of Avodah Yom Kippurim. And it's a chiddush to exclude Shabbos.
Once he explains like this, I'm at ease with why.
But what's much easier to understand is that my default assumption as to what's Avodas Yom HaKippurim is the stuff which is only brought on Yom HaKippurim. And then the Rambam is making a chiddush to include the Tamid. And the explanation for how we include the Tamid is because, well, every Yom Kippur, will, you know, since there's always a Tamid on Yom Kippur, we can say that part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim is the Tamid. Right? Maybe that's part of the schedule. It's part of the schedule of Yom Kippur, is the Tamid. You can't tell me that part of the schedule of Yom Kippur is the Musaf of Shabbos. So if it's not part of the schedule of Yom Kippur, then how is it part of the Avodah of Yom Kippur?
Well, I think that, to me, it is a Kiddush. I don't say it's not a Kiddush.
Okay.
That is a Kiddush. But I think that the Kiddush about Shabbos is not the fact that it's only every 6 or 7 days, but because as a set of Kiddusha. Not because... that's my reading of it. I don't think it has to happen every single Kippur for it to be considered.
Well, is it dumb to say then, if that's true, that this is the only other korban you can conceive of that would be included in the Avodas Yom Kippur? The Rambam could have included that in his list and say, and during the year when it falls out, it's supposed to be part of the Avodah. You can't necessarily prove anything from the fact that he doesn't write it, but if he's listing out and then repeats every single thing, then it might be a misnomer to think that he doesn't include that because it's not part of Avodas Yom Kippur.
Like, the way it does what you're saying is not necessarily logic to the Rambam uses. You'd say that if the reason that you bring Korban Tamid as part of the Avodah Yom Kippur is because Yom Kippur's Kiddushah just totally envelops everything that happens during that day, so everything becomes, like, what's the magic Yom Kippur? And then, so, on Shabbat, the same rule applies, that Yom Kippur has this, like, status that everything Yom Kippur kind of touches counts as Yom Kippur,
would
also, obviously, if that applies during the week, it applies during Shabbat also, but I don't think that's what the Rambam is necessarily saying.
Or suggesting that
there
is, that's not coming in. Right. I get two different ways of reading it. I mean, what's the implication of, right, this idea of you bring Tamid in? Right, what's the idea? My point is, so I could phrase it better, is how exactly does the condition of Yom Kippur affect the day? Is it affect every carbon you bring on the day? So therefore, it should logically affect Tamidim, and it should also affect the Muslim Shabbos. Or is that no? It affects it. The Seder Hayom is different. Now that Tamidim is considered part of the Seder Hayom, and the fact that you bring the Muslim Shabbos also by the Kohen Gadol is a separate finish.
Say it again.
I think it's just whatever.
First time this year I'm asking you to say it again.
What?
It's the first time this year I'm asking you to say that again.
Yeah. I don't have a better way to explain it. Like, this is a different case. I mean, why is
Shabbos
a
What's the different case? Just specific. What's the different case?
The thing is, why is Shabbos a finish? Two reasons to understand why Shabbos is a finish. One is because, since it only happens once every 7 years, because, okay, since that's the case, you no longer serve part of...
Take a step back. If it's not a unique Yom Kippur carbon, it's a chiddush. That's my default assumption.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a unique Yom Kippur carbon, it's a chiddush. And you have to explain to me how is it part of Avodas Yom HaKippurim if it's not a special Yom Kippur carbon.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, so the first one that needed to hurdle that was the Tamid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Tamid hurdled that. But the answer we had for Tamid doesn't apply to Shabbos. Because the answer for Tamid was it's part of the Yom Kippur schedule.
Was it? No, not quite. It's still relevant every single day. It not necessarily is part of the Yom Kippur schedule.
So what? Who cares if it's run every single day? What is it being run every single day have to do with being part of Avodas Yom HaKippurim?
Well, isn't Me'akeh the rest of the Avodah? Like, isn't like Tamid like, being open for... Like, Tamid like, sort of like, signifies the beginning of the day, so it kind of has to be part of... Is it the rest of the Avodah?
That's a great point. Okay, fine. Let's say you can't do the Avodah before you bring the Tamid.
So it is. Like, it's... I don't think it's as big of a chiddush then because by default, it has to be part of the Avodah, not just bringing it in, but like it has to be part of it, or else we can't do the Avodah.
What will you say about the Tamid in the afternoon? That's not a trick question. I mean, I think you'd probably just say that it's a package deal. Right, that's what you're
I guess, yeah.
Once you need one, then just the other comes along with it. Okay, I hear that. Good, very good. That's another way of explaining why the Tamid is part of the Avodas Hayom. But that's not going to help with that answer is also not going to help with much stuff, right? So that's still.
What? Maybe not be concerned necessarily part of the Avodah Yom Kippur, but it's part of every single day. So since we have these already these ramifications because it's Yom Kippur, and we require a different level of status just because of the Yom itself, right? Because are we now going to have different parts, different statuses for the morning and for the evening? No, there's the Yom itself has different status of what Tzar, what Tzar. So even though it to be deemed are not considered part of the Avodah Yom Kippur, the part of the Avodah Yom, part of the Avodah of every single Yom, just like a Kabbalah Shabbat is part of the Avodah of every single Shabbat, every seventh day. So are we necessarily going to say, oh, now it's part of the Avodah HaYom in that manner, or is this, it's part of the Avodah of the seventh day, or part of the Avodah of the every day? And since we require a different level for the day of Yom Kippur, regardless of whether that's part of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, we're going to require a Kohen Gadol.
So let's just go back to our two models for why you'd need a Kohen Gadol. Right, model number one, it's the day that requires the Kohen Gadol. Right, it's Yom Kippur, it's the greater level of Hiskalos, it's the opportunity to go into the Kodesh HaKadashim. That's the Kohen Gadol's day. Okay, if we took that model, would that explain the Musaf of Shabbos needing a Kohen Gadol? It would, right? Because we're saying what? We're saying everything on Yom Kippur needs a Kohen Gadol. So that model could work for the Rambam, actually. Happens to the Rambam explicitly says that Trumas Tadeshen could be done by anybody. But that's okay, because you could say, look, we're not quite as radical as the Baal Hamar. You know, the day of Yom Kippur requires the main avoda to be done by a Kohen Gadol. So you could say that. That would work. That would give that model would answer this question. It gets rid of all the nice things we were saying in Halacha Aleph, where he seems to be integrating everything, going out of his way to integrate everything. But that's one model. If we're going to take the second model, the model of it's the Avodas Hayom, it's the Kedusha of the Avoda that needs a Kohen Gadol, so, which, great, Halacha Aleph is all about him defining what's the Avodas Hayom. How does Musaf get in that club?
He said, if that happens on the day, becomes the Avodas Hayom.
So how does that happen? How does that happen?
How does it become? Do you have to bring a Karbon Musaf to meet him? There's a carbon hayom, right? There's a saying that hey, if
Trumas Hadeshen can be done by anybody because that's not part of the Avodah Sayom. That's not part of Avodah Sayom Kippurim. Right? It needs a Kohen, but, you know, shoveling the ashes or setting up the wood or turning over the meats, which all are Avodah and all require Kohanim, according to the Rambam, those can be done by anybody because those are not part of Avodah Sayom Kippurim. That's just general Beis HaMikdash maintenance, right? General Beis HaMikdash maintenance, according to the Rambam, doesn't need a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, because it's not part of, nobody's going to tell you that maintenance is part of Avodas Yom Kippurim. Mm-hmm. So how does Musaf become, why is Musaf in, but Trumas Hadeshen is out?
So you said last time, the definition of what is Avodah is not super clear to identify. Something that's the level of a Karban, right? Karban is much more on the Kiddush level than Trumas Hadeshen. On a simple understanding, it's much closer to the circle, the middle of the circle, regardless.
Also, didn't the Rav make the point that like Trumas Hadeshen happens before the day kind of starts?
Yes,
so, like, that's completely outside of the Rambam.
Right. You could pick excellent. You could pick the Ramban made that point as well. Right. You could say that Trumas Hadeshen comes before anything that's before the five Tevilot and ten Kiddushim, 100%. But you know all these other ones, setting up the wood and flipping over the meats and a few. Setting up the wood happens. That's you know.
Before in the beginning of the day. Like,
you think you needed it for all the carbonos? Probably needed to set up the wood, right? I imagine. I think. Right. The big pile of wood in the morning, but they probably need to put more on over the course of the day. And burning the flipping the unburnt pieces of meat. I'm for sure that they're doing all the time.
Isn't that at the end of the day? Like,
it continues. Continues until the end of the day. Correct. But it's. Okay, I hear.
Like, those are just not in the definition of Yom, so, like, in the physical day, like, they're before and after, like, so you could then still say that, I think what Adam's trying to say, that, if we just categorize those things as happening outside the actual physical day of, like, Yom Kippur, then we could put Shabbos back in there and say, like, okay, everything that the Kedusha of the Yom touches, like, excluding the things that aren't in the Yom, which are Shurah Hashem, the burning left of the meats. I guess setting up the wood is a problem, but
right. Okay, so let's just try to, you know, like the Lion King reference, right? Everything but the yeah, exactly. Right. So if we're gonna take the everything the light touches approach, so let's like put a little bit more on that other than magic, right? Where is that coming from? So in that, you're happy with it, right? You're happy saying just if it's avoda, if it's main avoda that's happening in Yom Kippur, I assume it's part of avoda seal. You're just happy saying that. Okay. Great. Several sleepless nights of previous Rambam scholars were wasted, and that's too bad. Okay. So, but and we'll do it quickly because it's 9:28. But two things that you could say. Number one, you could say, or I also like to say this also, that Shabbos and Yom Kippur and the Rambam have a lot of overlap. Won't go into it too much, but even just very simply, if you look at the order of Sefer Zmanim, and contrast it to the Shulchan Aruch, so the Tanya's Bar Ilan opened. What's the order of Sefer Zmanim in the Rambam? I know it starts with Shabbos and ends with Chanukah and Purim and Megillah, but what goes next exactly? Oh, okay, fine. So it's Shabbos, Erevin, Shvisas Asor, right? The rest of the 10th, Hilchos Yom Tov, and then Chametz Matzah, Sukkah, Shofar Lulav, etc. So Rambam has Shabbos and Erevin; those go together. Shvisas Asor. Why does it call it Yom Kippur? It calls it Shvisas Asor, and then Yom Tov. Exactly, right? So that's the core idea. So that can go for an hour, but we have like no 1 minute. So basically, the Rambam thinks that Yom Kippur, and it's because the Torah thinks that Yom Kippur is the ultimate Shabbos, right? Shabbos of Asan, which is relevant this year. Shulchan Aruch puts Yom Kippur with the Moedim, right? You have halachas of Pesach, and halachas of Rosh Hashanah, and halachas of Yom Kippur, and halachas of Sukkah. The Rambam is working from a conceptual point of view, and he puts Yom Kippur before Halachas Yom Tov because he thinks that Shabbos and Yom Kippur have a particular affiliation. So you could say that Shabbos is actually particularly calibrated to integrate itself into Shabbos, whereas it's obviously impossible, but let's say you were offering the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on Yom Kippur, right, or you were offering the Musaf of Sukkot on Yom Kippur, that would not be part of the Avodas Yom HaKippur. Shabbos happens to fit particularly nicely with Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur is Shabbat Shabbaton. Okay? That's one avenue you could go. Second avenue you could go in, or this will close, right, is the argument of the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach, who says that, he says, if I look at the Gemara in Zvachma, I think on Tzadi Aleph, which talks about where I have a priorities question, right? Which carbon comes first? The carbon Musaf of the Musaf of Shabbos or the Tumid of Shabbos, which comes first? So we say the Musaf of the Musaf comes first because it's got Shabbos, right? Or you have Rosh Chodesh Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and Musaf of Shabbos. Well, Musaf of Shabbos comes first because Shabbos is more kedusha than Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara objects, and the Gemara says what? Gemara says, well, the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh that's brought on Shabbos, that's a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, right? It's a Shabbistic Tumid. It's a Shabbistic Rosh Chodesh Musaf. So he argues that in general, when I have Shabbos that's over, if I have overlapping Kedusha, he says not only Shabbos and Yom Kippur that work together, but he says, in fact, that is just a halachic principle. When I have overlapping Kedusha Sayom, they always infect each other. And he has this fascinating Nachmina, right? Did you see what the Nachmina was? Relevant to this year, and remember, it's at the very end of the piece, the last little paragraph. A good halachic tidbit for this year. Exactly. In which case, if it's Yom Kippur on Shabbos, and
if you can eat or not.
Well, you can't eat because it's Yom Kippur, but if someone's a cholah, exactly. So they have to eat. Should they make kiddush? They can't make kiddush because of Yom Kippur. There's no kiddush on Yom Kippur, obviously. But should they make kiddush? It's a Shabbos, so should I make kiddush or not? So Or Sameach argues, no. Why shouldn't I? Why am I not making? I'm eating. It's Shabbos. Why don't I make kiddush? Because not just that. It's not that Yom Kippur takes preference. Yeah, it becomes a Shabbos of Yom Kippur. yeah, a Shabbos of Yom Kippur has no mitzvah of oneg. Right? It's not, we would love to fulfill the mitzvah of oneg. We can't do that because it's Yom Kippur. There is no mitzvah of oneg because it's a Yom Kippur Shabbos. Right? And it's therefore, he says, if the Chola shouldn't make kiddush. Okay, so that's a wrap.
Why is that different from Shabbos or Shodesh in terms of the element of mention?
I don't know. Talk to me about that first. Okay, so just a quickie wrap up, right? So we came in, we had our circles, we have our two basic models we could propose for why the Kohen Gadol is needed and why there's even a prohibition of Zaras as a personal status. One, the day of Yom Kippur, for sure for the Baal Amar, we have the argument from the Sfarno, maybe the works of the Rambam, but it discounts the Lacha Aleph. Model two, it's the Avod of Yom Kippur, the superior Kedusha of the Avod that requires superior Kedusha of Kohen. And then you're going to ask, what's in, what's out? And the Rambam seems to go out of his way to tell you that Yom Kippur envelops all the karbanos of the day. What about the Musaf of Shabbos? Either Shabbos fits particularly uniquely with Yom Kippur because it's Shabbat Shabbaton, or you say, like the Or Sameach, that in general you have this principle that when Kedushas Hayom overlap, they infect each other. Okay, so can we... I'm sorry, it's so late already. Do you know if we'll be able to meet... can we meet next Tuesday by any chance, or is that not good for people? Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesday's not good.